I have sinned. And today, repentance that's born in the storm usually dies in the calm. Verse 34 again. Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder were ceased, and he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, him and his servants. What has happened? Why? He found no peace and he found no pardon. He got into a bad circumstances. Many today, they get in a tight place. They have a car accident. Looks critical. They rush him to the hospital. The hospital emergency room checks him out. They look like in bad shape. They rush him and they fly him to a larger hospital where they have more procedures and technology because it looks so critical. And then everything checks out all right. Wasn't as bad as they thought. No broken bones. No concussion. They got out the next day. Maybe sore a little bit. You know what happened to them? The lightning and the thunder and the hail and the rain stopped. Where are they at? Would you think they repented? I bet you they said, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, when they was in that ambulance. Oh God, oh God, oh God, when they was in the emergency room. Oh God, oh God, oh God, when they was in that lifeline and going to a bigger hospital, laying on that table, and they were checking around. Oh God, oh God, oh God, if you just heal me. Oh God, if you just be with me. My, oh God, if you just be with me. If you just be with me, I'll be the best church member. I'll be the best. I will be the best. I'll do that if you just be with me. But the lightning and the storm and the hail ceased. They're back home. He sinned yet more, and he hardened his heart. Doctor gives a prognosis. Your child is sick. Go to the hospital and sit day and night and wait for that child. And you know the miracle of God, the mercy of God heals that child. And all the while you're saying, oh God, boy, I'll tell you one thing. I have not been faithful as I should. But I'll tell you one thing, I will be. Maybe it's your job collapse and you don't have no way of income. Oh God, oh God. But just as sure as the thunder and the hail and the lightning, when it stops and you get out of the bad shape, this horrifying confession that you made a vow in that hospital. That was a very sacred vow. And I've heard a lot of people tell me, buddy, if God will bring me through this, I will be there next Sunday. They made a sacred vow to Almighty God. But the crisis passed. The dark clouds blew away. They're back in the same old business, except worse, because they hardened their heart even more. A holy, sacred promise for you and your family when you make it, when you get back home, when that vow is broken, unkept, the promise that you made with God will harden your heart even more. Pharaoh said, I have sinned, but he hardened his heart even more. And his servants, that means his whole house. That means mothers and fathers, when you make that holy vow to God, and a lot of people have, but when they make that holy vow to God, and even it says the household, the servants, it's even harder to reach the children. It's harder to reach the offspring because they have made this confession to God, but yet they sin and harden their heart even more. Many church members do not have peace and they do not have pardon. Jeremiah again says the harvest is past, the summer is ending, and we're not saved yet. Many years maybe someone's been a member of the church, maybe a member of Pleasant Hill, don't matter what church you're a member, because church membership is not salvation. You've had it for many years, but you see, you're not saved yet. Just because you say, I have sinned, So there's a horrifying confession, but you see, they do not bring salvation. A hypocritical confession is the next one. This man about old Balaam. Y'all remember old Balaam? You remember the donkey that talked? He was some type of a prophet. And you know the story how the nation of Israel was going through the land of Moab, and the king of Moab, was afraid, Balak and Balaam, and he was afraid of the nation of Israel because he'd heard what God had done to the nation of Israel through the Red Sea and how they marched through that land. He was scared, and he hired old Balak to put a curse on the nation of Israel because he was afraid of them, of what they might do when they come through his land. Balaam, he says, I'll hire you. He was a hireling. And I'll hire you to put a curse on the nation of Israel. Now, Balaam knew enough about the word of God that that wouldn't work. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3 says, and I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse him that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. He knew that he could not curse the nation of Israel because he would be cursed. Don't you wish our president would understand that, what he's done to the nation of Israel? We're going to hurt in this country for what our president and his cronies have done to the nation of Israel. But he knew he could not curse the nation of Israel. Balaam says, I can't do that. King said, I'll give you more money. Read it. I'll give you more money. He says, no, I cannot curse the nation of Israel. But he says, I can tell you what you can do, old king. You can cause God to curse the nation of Israel. He said, well, how can I do that? He said, God don't allow the nation of Israel to interracial marriage. You send them Moabite women over there, and they'll get interested in those men. The men will get interested in those women, and they have interracial marriages, fornication, adultery. And God will curse the nation of Israel for doing that interracial marriage. God will do this because of mixed hearts that they might bring and mixed marriages that happen. Balaam says there in Numbers chapter 22, verse 34, and Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, remember now he was going back home riding on a donkey, and he says, I have sinned, because he told him what to do, told that king what to do, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease be, let me go back again. Don't kill me, let me go. He confessed, I have sinned, a hypocritical confession, but he says, I have sinned. He was not saved. You see, there's so many things people admit in their life. They want to ride both sides of the fence, as he did. People today, admit of your sins, confessing your sins is two different things. A lot of times the people get ready and say, well, we'll be to church on Sunday, but Monday they'll be okay. No peace, no pardon, and no changed life. But the third man had a half-hearted confession. He had a half-hearted confession. Well, who was that? You remember the nation Israel wanted a king, and guess where the first king was? King Saul. King Saul. Now, he had a half-hearted confession, O King Saul, the first king of Israel. And how you figure this? Well, you see, he was supposed to go to be at war. And as we find out there in Samuel, 1 Samuel 15 and 24, and Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. Why? Because he went to war, and the Anakims and the Amalekites was there. And God says, you kill every one of them. You kill woman, you kill man, you kill all their beast, you kill everything they are. He didn't do it. He saved some animals, pretty sheep, pretty oxen. Oh, he kept them for himself. God said, you kill everything. That's a cancer. He says, you know, well, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and these words because I feared the people and obeyed thy voice. That is after old Samuel says, you know what? I hear some bleating of the sheep, lowing of the oxen. But he had an alibi. He said, I feared the people. And he had an excuse. God will never accept an alibi or excuse for sin. And I'll tell you what, I've heard a lot of them. why people are not worshiping, serving Jesus Christ today, and why this church is as empty as it is this morning, people have an alibi and excuse, and God will not accept that. God will not accept that. God commanded Saul to destroy all the Amalekites. They was devil worshipers and everything. Now Samuel comes to him after that battle. He said, you kill everything? He said, I kill everything, Samuel. And again, he says, what is that that I hear that's blatant? Calves and the oxen. That's what you, you hear them? Oh, he said, well, I was going to sacrifice them for a sacrifice unto the Lord because I feared the people. An alibi, an excuse is what it was. A half-hearted confession. Because of the people, what someone would say about me. Oldest indoor sport we have is alibis and excuses. And we could ask every member of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church is not here, and I wonder what you would hear from their lips this morning. I wonder what you would hear from their lips this morning. Half-hearted. See, this is an old thing, alibi excuse. It's been going on a long time. You know where it started at? In the Garden of Eden. Whenever the first sin, Genesis chapter 3, verse 13, and God said unto the woman, at sin first, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, it weren't my fault. Excuse and alibi, that old serpent beguiled me and I did eat. Adam, did you eat? Yes, God. But God, you, the woman that you gave me called me to sin. Another alibi and another excuse. And it's been going on for a long time. Of mankind. Another alibi, another excuse of sin. God did not accept it then, and God will not accept it now for everybody, this alibi. As I said, well, the wife, that's the reason I don't come. Well, the husband, that's the reason I don't come. Just think about this. Oh, Aaron, when Moses was on Mount Sinai, been gone for 40 days, and God gave him the Ten Commandments. When he was coming back down, he saw the nation of Israel there in that great sinful, sexual party they was having. Threw down those Ten Commandments and asked old Aaron, said, Aaron, what in the world's going on? They're down there worshiping a golden calf. Where in the world did that thing come from? Exodus chapter 32, and it says, I said unto them, whosoever have any gold, let them break it off and give it to me. And I cast it into the fire, and there out popped a golden calf. Alibi and excuse. You think God hadn't heard all of them? Out popped a golden calf. It's been going around a long time. Because, you see, that was just a half-hearted confession. No salvation. And then there's a hedged-in confession that everybody is going to confess. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Here's a man had a hedged-in confession. His name was O'Achan. Remember O'Achan? The story of Jericho when Jordan River was full, you know, and the children of Israel crossed Jordan River, and they come up against old Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down, and God said, everything in that city do not belong to you. You don't take anything. It's all mine. O'Achan had found some gold and silver and a Babylonian garment and hid it under the girt in his tent. Then they went up against a little old city, Ai. So we won't take all the people, just a few, not that little place out. Look what we've done in Jericho. We take a few. And that little old city whipped them and killed several hundred Israelites. And there old Joshua over there laying down on his face praying out to God, "Oh God, oh God, oh God, what's happening? Oh God." God says, "Get up, Joshua, off your face. It's not no time for praying. You got sin in the camp. You got to have confession first." Achan did not come forward and say, "I was the man." Achan did not confess his sin. God marched every tribe, read it in the Bible, each tribe one by one in front of Joshua. And God said, "Well, no, it's not in that tribe. It's not in that tribe. It's not in that tribe." Till they came to the tribe where Achan was a tribe member. He said, "That's the tribe." Then they marched every man in that tribe before God. And guess what? When they come to Achan, God says, "That's him right there." God's pointing his finger. Because it's a hedged in confession that you will confess. Then awaken. He knew he'd done this. He knew he had failed. Joshua chapter 7, verse 24. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan and the silver and the garments and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his ass and his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and he brought them to the valley of Achor and stoned them to death and left a pile of stones there. Even the children, mothers and fathers, you're raising your kids to be stoned to death by this world. But you will confess. Proverbs 28 and 13 says, "He that covered his sin as old Achan did shall not prosper, but whosoever shall confess and forsake them shall have mercy." He could have confessed, but he did not until God put his finger on it. Romans 14 and 12 said, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God." One of these days, everybody. In the book of Revelation chapter 20, 12 and 13 says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead was judged out of these things, which was written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead that was in them. And there was judged every man according to their works. Every knee will bow one day." Everybody is going to be hedged in by their confession that "I have sinned." Everybody is going to confess that they are a sinner before God. It's just too late for some of them. It's just too late. Harvest is past. The summer's ended. And we're not saved. You talk to people, say, "Yeah, well, I will one day. I will get right one day." Wait until the stroke of God's judgment falls upon that person, and it will be too late because of then that hedged in confession. 2 Corinthians 6 and 2 says, "For it said, I have heard thee in the time of acceptance, and in the day of salvation I have suffered thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." God's speaking to you this morning. Hebrews 3 and 15 says, "While he had said, today," not next Sunday, he says today. God's word is today. Satan's word is wait. "If you will hear his voice, harden not your heart in as it was in the day of the visitation of the nation of Israel." But you see, there was another haunting confession of a man that didn't get right with God. His name was Judas. Matthew 27. Judas which betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, and said, I have sinned, in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to it. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, departed, went out, and hanged himself. Judas was haunted by the ghost of guilt. And he said, I have sinned. But he did not have a repentance towards God. That word repentance was not towards God. It is a confession. He said repentance. He was remorse. He was sorry that he'd done it. Just because you're sorry of your sin, that do not mean that you repented of your sins. And you cannot be saved unless you repent. Being sorrow for your sin, I have sinned, I'm sorry that I've done that, that is not true repentance. That is not salvation. Judas done that. That is not the repentance that God's looking for. And it damned his soul to hell. The unpardonable sin. John 6 and 64. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Verse 70 says, Jesus answered them, have not I chose you, and one of you is the devil? It also says in John 17 and 12, while I was with you in this world, I kept them in thy name, those that thou gavest me, I've kept. None of them was lost but the son of perdition. O Judas, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Matthew said, the Son of Man goes as it is written to him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It'd be better for that man not to have been born. Did you know what? If you're lost and you never accepted Jesus Christ and you die in your sins, it would be better if you was never born than spend eternity in hell. Be better if that man was never born, woman, child, that goes out into eternity without Jesus Christ. It would be better if they was never even born. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, that man of perdition, that man called O Judas. Confession, no peace, and no pardon. There's one man, the healing confession. Guess who that was? You ever heard of the prodigal son? The old prodigal son. He had a healing confession. It led to salvation. A healing confession. And it says in Luke, I will rise and go to my father. That's turning. I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned. Another one. As all the rest of them, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of thy hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a far way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto the father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. But he said, thy father said unto thy hired servant, bring forth the best robe, put on him, and put a ring on his finger, shoes on his feet, and bring forth the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Had one of these had a healing confession towards God? There was another one that I didn't feel like I didn't even have time to get into before we got to the healing of confession. And I want to call this the handy confession, or either the convenient confession that a lot of people make. You know who that was? Remember the book of Acts, chapter 24, when Paul was before Phoenix? Phoenix, I will hear thee now, of why that you have been called to Rome and why you are locked up and chained. Paul began to preach to old Phoenix about the word of God, Jesus Christ, his resurrection. And he was so filled with those emotions and so filled with the truth of the Word of God. Old Phoenix began to tremble, as a lot of people have said in this church, and tremble and held on those pews as hard as they could. When it come time to come forward, the confession of their sins. Oh, I'm a good person. Just hold on and don't you dare come. Phoenix tremble, it said in the Word of God. Then he answered, "Go thy way, be another convenient time, I'll call for thee." Don't you come today. There'll be a better convenient time, the old devil is telling you. Don't walk down this aisle and say, "Lord, I need to be saved. I need to be saved. I've been a church member long enough. I need to be saved." Don't you do that. Satan don't want you to do that. Wait for another convenient time. It'll get better, it'll get easier. You see, he made the mistake that a lot of people make, and some of them may be making a mistake today. The first mistake he made, he felt like the convenience would come. Another day, a more convenient day will come to you. Maybe when your whole family's here. Maybe when you plan to go and, today we'll go and be saved. It don't work that way. Old Phoenix thought, well, you see, there'll be a more convenient time. You see, the convenience never came. And it will never come to you. You'll never get another convenient time than this morning, right now, when the Spirit of God is dealing with you. He made that mistake that so many people make today. Also, he made the mistake that conviction will continue. You see, if you're under conviction this morning, that don't mean that you'll ever be under conviction again. You don't decide that you're going to be saved. You don't wait and say, "Well, I'll come back next week and then I'll be saved." You don't decide that. That's not your decision. That's the Holy Spirit of God. You may never, right now, if you're under conviction to be saved today, right now, this minute, don't make the mistake that old Phoenix made and say, "Well, more convenient time, I'll come back and get more convenient time. Maybe my family will be with me. We'll talk it out. We'll discuss it." You'll never get that time. How about then the conviction will continue? Well, I feel the Holy Spirit of God is pressing your heart right now, if you're here today and lost. It's working on your heart to give your heart to Jesus Christ. That's called the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. And someone probably may be here this day and say, "Hey, that preacher's talking right straight to me. I don't know who you are. That ain't my business. God does." But you feel that conviction. You know what you ought to do, and you know that you're not saved. But you wait, you'll have you think this keep on going, this conviction that God is on you right now, that you have this feeling, it'll keep going. Phoenix thought the same thing and damned his soul to hell. Because you know what that conviction will do? When you don't come then, when the conviction of the Holy Spirit is on you, you know you ever had shields, calluses on your hand from doing something? Every time that conviction of God is on you and you put it off and you go back over the blood and you step on the blood of Jesus Christ and you go back out, every time your heart gets a little harder and that shield gets a little thicker, and it's harder the next time for the Spirit of God and the Word of God to convict your heart about the Son of God. But old Phoenix said, "I'll wait and I'll come back, and you come back, old Paul, and I'll send for you." He never sent for Paul to come back. And you might not never get a chance to be saved. You might not never get another chance. You see, these five of these men, they had all type of confessions, but only one had a genuine confession towards God, and that was a prodigal son. Just because you say, "I believe in Jesus Christ, I know Jesus Christ," that don't mean that you're saved. It takes more than words. You're not saved. If you die in your sin, you know what's going to happen? You're going to go to a place that God made for the devil and his angels. You say, well, I'm a pretty good person. I'm a good woman. I'm a good man. Well, I beg your pardon on that. God says you're not. It's either your word or God's word, and which one is true? God says none of us good, no, not one. That includes you, lady. That includes you, sir. That includes me. My goodness and my righteousness are filthy rags in the sight of God. What does those rags talk about? The rags are wrapped around a leper when they change his rags. That's how good your righteousness is. And yet you won't come. You just read these because they are wrote on your heart. Because God said, my word will not come back void. It's going to accomplish what I sent it out to do. And that's exactly what's going to happen today. As we come with a song of invitation, before we do, I'd like for you to bow your head in prayer right now. Father, you know I don't really do this, but I know that I feel here this day that someone needs to come. If, Lord, we know if they would just step out, that you would give them the power and the strength to come forward. They are not coming to a church. They're not coming to a preacher, but they're coming to you. Father, if anyone here today is lost, we're going to pray this prayer. Everyone here today, if you're lost, if you pray this prayer, Lord, I know that I have sinned as you have heard in the word of God. And I know that I've come short of the glory of Jesus Christ. But I realize the wages of sin is death and I deserve hell, but there's a gift. And that gift is Jesus Christ. And you said in your holy word, if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that I will be saved. You said that you had all power in heaven and earth to forgive all sin. Father, I believe that. And I want to commit my heart, my life, and my soul to you, Jesus. I want to come and I want to let this whole church in the world acknowledge that I have been free and set free. I have peace in my heart and I have been pardoned by the word and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Father, we want to thank you now for the work that you've done in the hearts of your people. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As we stand for that beautiful, beautiful song that we're fixing to sing.